This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Look at Joshua chapter 6. And as usual, I just want to bring out something in this particular passage that many people ignore, but that is the key, the secret of it. The Bible said that now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor." When God speaks like this, we should know that it is done. Now, even though Joshua was still seeing Jericho and was still seeing the people, God had already fast-forwarded events and had come to give Jericho the conclusion. When God says to somebody, "You are a king," person is a king. Person may end up taking many years to get there, but like David, but the person in God's own book has become a king. When we look at verse 3 to 5, this is where the key then is. "You shall march around the city. All you men of war, you shall go all around the city." And we saw the instruction in that place. What I really wanted you to see was what happened in the previous chapter, which you did last week. The Bible said Joshua saw the captain of the army of the Lord. And even though Jericho had the greatest defense that Joshua had ever seen or met as at that time, even though Jericho had all the sophistication of that time, it didn't matter. Joshua had a meeting with just one entity, the angel Michael. And the Bible said he bowed down and worshiped the angel and they spoke. And then the angel told him what to do. "March around the city 7 times. On the 7th day, do it 7 times. Make a hell of a noise. And the whole city will come down." The reason this is so important is so that we know that the supernatural, the presence of the supernatural makes a whole lot of difference when it comes to facing life challenges or dealing with life's crisis. Many of us know this. And then we still fret. Many of us will have heard from God and yet will behave like Lot's wife. You know, in the whole of the scripture, I've seen people who God would give the expo. God would deliberately call them and say, "I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do that." You expect that if somebody heard from God and God told the person, "These are the things I want to do," that person already had the secret, the code of life. That the person then would just be successful. Because I do not see why such a person shouldn't be successful. In my opinion, the person should automatically, from that moment, become successful once you've heard from God and you know what the Lord said to do. But I see many of us, we hear from God, but we assume that what we heard from God was for just one season or for one event, or for one situation, or for one whatever. Sometimes I hear a big preacher in quotes speaking, and the preacher will say, "Oh, then God told me that night that I should do this, 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 and I did it and it worked." After that, I now had to go back and be praying again for the second thing I'm asking the Lord for. In my head, I'm always thinking, why? Because that's not how it works for me. God does not solve my problem one by one. I find that to be a bit absurd, that God expects me to pray about everything one by one, that the things I don't mention, He will then not do them. Like the things I failed to mention, God did not say, since He didn't mention it, I'm not going to do it for Him. No. That kind of a mindset is religious in all its making. You see, the right mindset is that God is in the affairs of His people 100%, and that God knows what His people need, even when the people didn't know it. That God knows what I need as a person, even when I don't know it. God knows what I need. God will look at my life. So everybody has a life. I'm not in your life. I can be looking at your life from outside, but I cannot really know what it means to live your life. You know what is in your life that you need. I know what is in my life that I need. Or I would think I know what's in my life that I need. And God is my Father. So God looks at my life and says, this guy will need such and such and such. But I have no idea. I'll give you an example. I know somebody that is trying to get herself a husband, praying about it earnestly. Then she met somebody. And she was like, I like him, but I didn't think that my life and his life can work together. Because, I don't know, there were some things about him when I met him. But after we began to talk, I just realized that, wow. And then I said, you are expecting that it is. Because many of us will have in our head the kind of person we want. And then we find out that God has done us 10 times better by bringing us somebody that actually fits into who we are. If they asked Joshua to pray that day, that time when they got to Jericho, and they said, "Joshua, what do you want me to do for you?" Joshua would have said, "Lord, we need ladders. We need battle ram. We need bow and arrow. We need siege weapons. We need food supply and water. We need to do another reconnaissance of the whole of these place and know where they can sneak in and out of the city. We need to know these things. We need a Trojan horse so that we can sneak in and open the gate." There are so many things that a captain of war would think about. But there is one obvious thing. But you will never think about the obvious thing. How would anybody imagine telling God that, "God, just bring Jericho down. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this Jericho that I see, I don't want to see it anymore. Just make it disappear. Evaporate it." Like, it will be the last thing to pray for, because it will not make sense to pray for that. And yet, that was what God did. The unthinkable. Which shows us the supernatural far is far greater, far than our thoughts and our imagination. Than whatever we might think is a solution to the problem, it shows us that the supernatural is far more than that. It's far, 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 far. It's far more than that. But many of us never see it. The secret to the fall of Jericho is not because they went there, they crossed or they marched 7 times. All that marching was to build their faith. Let me say something to you. Just told me. Wanted to build a place of worship for God, for the fellowship, somewhere where we all will meet and just worship God. That's what the Lord has said. I've taken a step of faith. I've bought land. I've gotten a quantity surveyor to quantify how much we would need to build this thing, and they've given me a bill. Then I presented the bill before the Lord and I said, Father, we have convention in October. And this is February. 8 months, Lord. I want to do the convention of October inside this auditorium. And I'd like you to give me honor and it. I asked. Then the Lord said to me, if I give it money, what will you do? I said, I'll build the auditorium. He said, what will you call it? I said, I'll call it your auditorium. The Lord said, no. He said, you will have built a house. But it will not be my house. Eventually, when I build an auditorium, but it will not be my auditorium. He said, because the people are not going to be involved in it. They will not have a sense of belonging. They will not see it as the house of their God. They will see it as a house, but I haven't got built. And said, we come and worship God there. He said, and I do not want anything that does not include the fellowship of my people. I am the head of fellowship, says the Lord. I am the head of your fellowship. I'm the head of the fellowship. That means fellowship means doing things together, keeping together, walking together. He said, so if I give you the money and you build, and nobody will see it as our thing. They will see it as your thing. And that means I've divided the fellowship, and I do not want to divide the fellowship. So it has to be together, the miraculous, the supernatural, and the mundane working together. You bring your little 2 naira, 5 naira, 10 naira. I will bring my bread. Angels will bring their ability, and all of us will build together. And believe me, we built that auditorium in 4 months. In fact, we built it in such a way that by the time we are commissioning it, another hostel was already getting roofed, which we didn't even plan for before. We had already built the hostel to the point of roofing by the time we were dedicating the auditorium, based on how the Lord supplied the need. But I got the point. The point was that if the Lord had given me 100% the money, people's faith will not be built, people will not be blessed, people will not be a part of the fellowship. And as long as they're not a part of the fellowship, I will get what I wanted, but God will not get what he wanted. God wanted his church to be strong, to be built up in their faith, to walk with him, and to begin to see spiritual results in their lives too. And that's how we build it. So the same thing happened here in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua needed the victory. There was no way of getting it by the strength of the people. They needed supernatural support or supply or what have you. Something supernatural to help them with Jericho. They needed a supernatural intervention. But the people will just be bystanders. They will just be bystanders. They will be audiences or spectators if they do not participate in it, and that means their faith will not be built. So when they want to tell the story, just like the Red Sea, they will say, Moses parted the Red Sea. Did you see how it was said? Moses parted the Red Sea. They didn't say, we parted. They said, Moses parted the Red Sea. But when Jericho fell, they said, we conquered Jericho. The reason, the difference between the two was because Moses was seen, was the only one that did the parting of Jericho. And everybody saw it and said, Moses, you parted Jericho. But in the inside of Jericho, they all walked together. The Bible said they walked. Jericho was not a small town. They walked around it once every day for 7 days. On the seventh day, they walked around it 7 times. It has already given them a sense of perspective. They've already seen Jericho. They've seen the site. They've walked around it. The people in Jericho were up. They were laughing at them, cheering them, mocking them. They were part of the process. So that when Jericho fell, it felt like our victory. It wasn't Joshua's victory. It felt like our victory. So then, when the Lord taught me that, I realized, oh, it was actually the angels that conquered Jericho. It was the breath of God that sent them. But the children of Israel claimed the scalp of Jericho because they participated and they didn't just watch. And that is very, very crucial. Participation. That's why the Bible called us partakers of the divine nature. We partake, we participate, we are part of it. We are not just watching it. A lot of us would like to just sit down and watch God do his work. We don't want to participate. We don't want to be a partaker. We are partakers of the divine nature. It means that we have a part to play, a role to play in the fulfillment of the goals and the aspirations of the divine nature. We have our own goals to play. We have our roles to play. We have our targets. We have where to go. When it comes to our understanding, interpretation, and our expectation of the divine nature, we must not be seen as sluggard. We must not be seen as those who do not want to do or be a part. We just want to sit down and watch. So at the end of the day, we saw that because they walked around, they took the victory as their victory. They claimed the victory as their victory. It was written that they conquered Jericho. But we and I know that they didn't really do anything. They walked. That was all. It wasn't as if when they were walking, they caused an earthquake. But what happened was supernatural intervention. So there's a way we do the supernatural that people feel isolated from it. That's why we do the supernatural, that people feel drawn into it. You can heal the sick, and the way you speak to people may make people dislike you or disdain the miracle. And you can care for the sick, not even heal the sick, and everybody will be thinking that you are healing the sick because of your attitude, because of your behavior, because of how you spoke, because of the words that you speak. All these things then begin to count as whether you really care or you do not. As we look at this Bible study today, as saints and born again Christians full of grace and truth, I wanted to bring to us the advantage of spiritual offer. Let God into this matter. Let God in. If you stay in your, if there's a problem ahead of you, or in front of you, on your table at work, or your family, it can even be about your marriage. And that problem was so, is so close to you that you cannot see it clearly. You may even be the one at fault, but you may not see it. Maybe your wife is at fault, maybe it's at work. There may be a problem, or maybe it's even something to do with work. Maybe a machine that you need for work is not working, like the engineer, whatever it is. And it is so close to you that every time you are thinking about it, it's as if you are only thinking the same thoughts. You cannot think another thing. There's a problem, you need a solution. But your mind keeps going to one solution. And that one solution did not work. You are supposed to think of other things, but because your mind has been looping on it, it's time to stand up and take a long walk. like Joshua did when they faced Joshua, when he was facing Jericho, you will take a long walk. In that long walk, you will just be praying in the Spirit silently, and you will allow the Holy Spirit to open unto you fresh vistas, fresh ideas, fresh waves of how to solve that problem. It is time. It is what it's proper to do. Joshua had to leave the whole of the camp. It took a long walk. It was in the course of that walk that he met the angel of the Lord. And the angel told him the secret that would help them win against Jericho. And the secret worked. The secret worked perfectly, like a charm. And so we could see from that example that if Joshua did not give in or yield himself, if he did not try to push and say, okay, this is Jericho. I don't have the men to do this work. I don't have the means to do this work. But let me go talk to God. You know, God did not say Joshua built an altar and did all that, because he never did. All Joshua did was go for a walk and allow the prevailing thoughts in his head. We normally say we are going to clear our head. He allowed his head to become clear. What do we have on ground? What are our options? What are our alternatives? Which way do you go? Do we go to the right? Do we go to the left? No, you calculate the odds, and then you shut it out of your mind. You say, okay, I'm not thinking about this anymore. I'm just going to enjoy my walk. And then you enjoy your walk. You leave that matter to marinate. And then you just see the Lord show up and it will solve the problem without any form of chaos or problem. It is important. Joshua had the benefit of information. He had spies who came to the city to help him scout, to help him to recognize lands. They came back with news. He realized that the land was good. He realized that they were fighting for something. And the people in Jericho, they were the earliest settlers on the land. So it was their rights to stay there. Yeah, but God has given the land to Abraham, even before this set of people were born. So Joshua was going to take it. But how would he take it without supernatural help? How would he take it without divine help? How then would the word of God concerning him that I have insulted him before the people, how would that come to pass if he does it without divine help? So the divine help is key to the solution that Joshua brought forth. The divine help was key. We need divine help. All of us who are born again Christians, listen to me. And I'm not talking of divine help that comes in the form of pray, and saying that, oh, things are so bad, things are so, no. Before things get to the point where they become so terrible, can you please take a long walk? I do it. I do it a lot. Especially when I'm too close to a problem. Or when there's an emergency, and I know that if I stay in the room, I'll just be shouting. Because of the weight of that problem, I'll take a walk. I can scream on my way. But taking a walk, talking to God about it, is a real way of sorting things out. Outside of your own thoughts, your imagination, your own strength, you know, just sort things out with God and then come back refreshed so that you can celebrate the victory when the victory eventually lands. Jericho was not a bad city to take. Joshua, after the city was down, Joshua had to do something that in the context of the Old Testament, I think he did it because he was afraid that some children of Israel, or one of them, would dream of building that city again. He wanted that city to remain a rubble. Life is always a rubble. They can always refer to it and use it to terrorize, they use the memory of it to terrorize their enemies. Joshua then said they should never rebuild Jericho, that whoever will build it will lose two children. And he said it, and the children of Israel did not ever try to rebuild Jericho until Hiel did so. And Joshua's word still came to pass. You wonder why the word of a man lasts more than him before God. I have to ask the Lord. A man says something and he dies, and God still honors the man's words even after the man is no longer there. Abraham, long after he was gone, God made his one of his descendants king in Israel according to God's promise. God gave him children like sand of the seashore according to God's promise. God promised and things happened for Abraham. Lot spoke, not God. Lot spoke and said, Joshua spoke. And Joshua said, if anybody would lay the foundation of Jericho, the person will lose a son. When the person is doing the gate, the person will lose another son. And there was a man that decided to do it, and his children died like that. And that man was not a poor man. It was not a joke. It was a man of influence, a man who had the ears of the king. And yet the word of God came to pass because God's word cannot be broken. And because when Joshua speaks with a heart full of gratitude and assurance to God. So then God honored Joshua's words even after he had long departed, because it was in the time of the kings that this city was built, and the person that built it and the king had, but however it is, it was many years after. So today, I've encouraged us to engage the supernatural. Engage him. You may be praying about it in your office. If it is not enough, I'm not asking you to fast or anything. No, just say, I'm going to take a walk, and then take a long walk. Take it just like Joshua did. Not only thinking of the problem, but finding a solution for it. It is on time and in the right course before God. So let's do that and then get supernatural help. Whenever God offers to help, take it with both hands. Because the help of God is worth it. It is worth more than gold and silver. God asked the children of Israel here that all the spoils of war, give it to me. God didn't take them to heaven. God kept them in the temple, in the sanctuary, for the use of the priests, and as a form of war loot for God. But God did that because the people that God was dealing with at the time, the children of Israel, they must know that since they didn't contribute much, they cannot share of the spoil. They must know that. They must respect the fact that he won the door 100%, and therefore he deserves to keep it, even though they participated. I wanted that also to be clear. So this Bible study has told us about encouraging the supernatural. It has told us that the word of God, our words are living words. Even after we had gone up to pray the Lord, if we say anything, it will still be coming to pass, because God watches over our words to ensure that they are performed. We should know that, so that we then watch what we say and how we say it. And then we should trust God that in everything, he has given us everything we need to have the victory that he has promised us from the beginning. If you are blessed by tonight's class, please unmute and shout, Glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswm.org.